Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
We've got three things you need to hear to get on about your day. It's the 3 at 12:03, but I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Traynor, and this is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. And here's your 3 at 12:03.
Here's what we have for you behind door number 3.
That'll do. Okay, last night, AMAs. And Christina Aguilera, nope, sorry, that's not where we're starting. Diana Ross got a Lifetime Achievement Award. Here's a little bit of her singing a medley of her hits. Oh my gosh, that woman, does she age or what?
She's literally a living national treasure, and it was not more obvious than it was last night. Oh, could not have been more obvious last night.
She was amazing. One of my favorite parts that happened right when she was done, when they were giving her the award, was her all of her grandkids came up on stage, and there was this one hammy kid who was like totally bound and determined to steal all the focus, and it worked. He was hilarious.
No, it was a beautiful, beautiful performance. And we just, you know, in this day and age, to see that much talent in one person on stage, it was just a nice way to end that broadcast last night.
It was awesome. All right, moving on.
Behind door number 2, let's see what we've got.
So Pink decided to do something unusual. For her, and by that I mean not at all, she decided to fly around, this time from the side of a building. It was amazing, was it not?
Oh my gosh. Like, took my breath away amazing. And then my husband came in and ruined it.
Why?
Because he goes, she's not really singing. I was like, who cares?
Well,
I don't care.
I will say it was an amazing feat. And I think we always look forward to the thing that Pink is going to do next. But, you know, that's kind of her shtick. So, of course, you expect it. Although I will say it was amazing the level of technique and skill that was required to pull that off. Because for those of you who didn't get a chance to see it, it was an optical illusion. So she's literally, everybody is literally horizontal. But the way they filmed it was vertical so that you could see everybody as if they were walking around on the top of a building or on the side of a building, mm-hmm. but they were walking upright. So they were doing all of their movements horizontally that you would have normally had to do. It's kind of like, I don't know if you remember the old Batman and Robin episodes when they would be climbing, quote unquote, climbing up a building. Mm-hmm. But really, it's just that they were on a stage that they had tilted the camera for. Right. This was that, but for real.
Oh, it was insane. I mean, I'm sorry, but she has cemented herself in this current time as like the best performer. She's amazing. I'm hoping I get to see her in concert when she comes. I hope she rappels off the side of the building. Probably not going to happen.
Yeah, she probably won't do that.
No.
You never know.
It's true.
And here it is behind door number one.
Okay, Christina Aguilera, among other things, did a tribute to Whitney Houston at the American Music Awards last night. And here's how that sounded. Okay, so the big, you know, all the talk was frankly about one very small moment during her performance, and it was the face that Pink was wearing.
I didn't see this in the moment. I feel like that was just a cutaway and somebody grabbed a screen cap of it, and then therefore everybody who wasn't actually watching the performance thought that that was her reaction. Because if you were watching that particular performance, there were other cutaways to Pink where she was singing along and she looked completely moved by what Christina was doing. So, like, I feel like that's one of those, like, you know, moments where you're like, hey, guys, I know you want to make something here, but there's really nothing to see here.
Well, and that's basically what Pink said. She said, Christina bleepin' killed it tonight for one of our favorite singers ever. This about Whitney, and I am in awe of Christina's talent. Show the clip where I'm in tears, you negative Nancys.
Yeah,
I think you're exactly right. Like, it sort of became viral for that one moment. Imagine that, though. You know, like, we talk about this all the time. Your face can get you in trouble. By accident, right? Because you might just have a resting face.
Because people are lazy.
You might think that you are looking like you are into it, but somebody's going to interpret it like you're angry or you don't like it.
Yeah, everybody's on edge to, like, you know. And I will say that the reason this resonated was probably because there was a lot of criticism of Christina. I wasn't, you know, in the mindset of criticizing her. I mean, anybody who's willing to get up on a stage and do Whitney, you deserve some mad respect.
Right.
And of the people that are capable of doing a tribute for Whitney, that she's one of the few people. Is she going to sound like Whitney? No. And it's just, I'm reminded of that every time somebody tries to do it, whether it's Adele, whether it's Christina. I mean, nobody is going to sound like Whitney Houston. That voice shall never exist on planet Earth yet again. So,
true.
You know, it's just silly that people, because I saw a lot of people, you know, attacking Christina, and I'm like, you guys, seriously, I know we love to, like, poke fun at people. There are so many other, like, legitimate things to poke fun at people about in this day and age. Like, her less than Whitney performance of Whitney's music is not maybe the area that I would go down. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, and I do think it was like, I think, first of all, I thought it was kind of surprising to see Christina in that way. Christina Aguilera is usually like made up to the whatever, to the nines. Like, she's usually like got, she doesn't look natural. And just to see her stripped down and just sitting there singing Whitney Houston, it was a little bit shocking and not necessarily what you're used to from Christina.
Again, I just think there are better ways to like memorialize Whitney. Like, I don't think you need to have, you don't need to put somebody through the like trauma of getting on stage and singing her music. Because again, the whole reason that we love Whitney so much is because nobody else had that voice.
Yeah, I feel like the same thing is going to happen, you know, when they're trying to do tributes to Prince. It's going to, like, you're going to feel a little bit lackluster because it's not Prince. You want to hear Prince.
Unless you do something different. Like, if she had taken, if Christina had taken, or if they had found a musician who would take one of Whitney's songs and make it their own, then I think that would be a, that would be an actual tribute. But, you know, telling somebody to go out there and do Whitney,
right,
it just seems like you're setting that person up to
for failure,
be criticized.
Yeah. Really quick, I just wanted to give like this little this update that just came across, that Della Reese has died. We talk about Della Reese all the time. Sad. She was 86 years old. You know her, of course, as Tess, Untouched by an Angel, but she was also
she was
a jazz and gospel and pop singer.
She just in her early career. Touched by an angel.
That's true.
Too soon.
I think so, because she literally just died. Like,
no,
this
she's
morning.
An amazing look.
I a huge am a talent.
Huge fan of Della Reese.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. Well, anyway, so that is the that's the latest news. I mean, we're just hearing this this afternoon that Della Reese has passed away at the age of 86. You know, it doesn't. I'm reading the statement from her husband. I share with you the news that our beloved Della Reese has passed away peacefully at her California home last evening, surrounded by love. It doesn't necessarily say exactly what she passed away from, but it sounds like she was surrounded by her family and friends. So when we come back, I'm certain that Elizabeth Reese will have something to say about that and so much more with our Dirt Alert here on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1.
Hey, it's Jace from Jason and Alexis. If you miss Second Chance Romance, oh, don't worry. We got you. We have the highlights.
We go to a karaoke bar for our first date and had a wonderful time. Just don't really know why there isn't a second date after 2 weeks have gone by.
I feel kind of weird saying this, but I think she's, I don't know, too much fun for me. At a certain point, she actually was buying shots for these other guys. I'm just looking for something a little more, I don't know, lack of a better word, I don't know, mature.
I like to have a good time. I mean, it's just my style, really. I mean, I want to be playing beer pong when I'm 80.
You know, I'm not trying to judge that. I don't want to be playing beer pong, you know, at all.
Second Chance Romance, Thursdays at 7 and 8:30 on My Talk 107.1.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Elizabeth Reese, welcome to the show. She's brought a bundle of dirt for
us. I have a whole bucket full for you guys. Happy almost Thanksgiving.
Yay, gobble gobble.
Gearing up for the big meal. Okay, let's start with some of the death news.
There's a lot.
Oh my gosh, there's been a ton this week.
I know. There have, well, and this one is, boy, serial killer Charles Manson died at the age of 83. I mean, nobody's really that sad to see him go.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding. You'll remember that he murdered actress Sharon Tate, he and his cult members, and eight others, and in 1969, these deaths horrified the country. He was serving 9 life sentences in California's Corcoran State Prison at the time of his death. And, you know, this is a nice thing. Deborah Tate, who is the sister of Sharon Tate, said, "I said a prayer for his soul."
Oh.
After she received a call from a prison official informing her of Manson's death Sunday evening. He spent over half of his life in prison.
Wow. And that's exactly where he should be.
You know, it's
yeah.
It, I went back this morning and was like reading through the story just to remind myself of the people that were involved and how it all went down. And, you know, everybody sort of thinks of Sharon Tate because she was perhaps the most notable of the people that died.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was reading through the stories of the other people that were involved. And I mean, and, you know, her unborn son was like 2 weeks away from being born.
Oh,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
It was just, it was really, really just, you know, a tragedy beyond all tragedies. And I think it's easy to sort of. Plus, there's also this weird thing about Charles Manson where he became sort of a part of pop culture.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, there were people that sort of idealized him or idolized him. You know, women that wanted to marry him.
Well, like, didn't
a
woman just marry him like 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah,
I think so.
It was, it's just a, it was a very unique case for so many different reasons. And it was sort of like that, like a crucial part of the 60s, you know, yeah.
Well, plus, I think what had happened with him is being so influential and not, I mean, being a person.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
He was recruiting his followers to do these things. I mean, that was that's like the most bizarre thing. I mean, it's one thing when you're like, I'm a murderer and I'm going to kill people. I mean, right. He was getting people to do these types of things. It was also interesting, too, to learn that when he was in prison, he racked up tons of violations. I mean, he was hiding cell phones. He was hiding LSD and marijuana in his cell. He would throw feces at guards. I mean, it was just like one thing after another. Like, talk about just a miserable life that took the lives of innocent people.
Ugh. Gross.
I do want to also tell you, though, that Della Reese passed away.
That's really sad.
It was
so sad.
She was in Touched by an Angel. Remember that show?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I should go back and binge watch that. I wonder if I can find that somewhere. She passed away at the age of 86, and she has left behind her three children. Another daughter had passed away earlier than her. Mm-hmm. And then her husband, and I love this because her husband's name is Franklin, and one of their children is Franklin. And, you know, I have a Franklin. Mm-hmm. And her last name is Reese.
Oh, yes.
Look at that.
Like, really bonded. I know.
Yeah. So RIP Della Reese, if you get a chance to, you know, watch some Touched by an Angel and remember that. That's very nice. Let's talk about a little Kardashian news, shall we?
So if we must.
Kim Kardashian has dumped her longtime assistant and publicist.
Ooh, there's stuff going on here.
Something's going on. Stephanie Shepard is her publicist, or that's the COO of her company. And then Ina Trikoukas, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but that's her publicist. Page Six called her long-suffering publicist, both within the past month. So, I don't know. Stephanie Shepard once said she would take a bullet for Kim Kardashian.
Oh, not anymore.
Yeah,
source says that the pair grew apart.
Oh, Bradley, wow.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, come on. That is not someone anybody's running to work for, although there probably are a lot of people.
Well, I think there are a lot of people. I mean, because she's got the Midas touch, but do you really want to...
Yeah.
I mean, do you really want to... That's a deal with the devil.
Well, I think Seriously. Working for any superpower celebrity like that sounds so exhausting.
If you have no ego of your own to speak of, then maybe that's like the perfect job for you.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know how you could work.
Well, you know, think about it this way. The reason we know Kim Kardashian is because she started as Paris Hilton's assistant.
You're right.
So, you know, I'm sure that there is, and then that's the whole premise of her dumb game.
Yeah.
Her iPhone or her app is that you start as like a miserable peon and then you work your way up to be famous yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm sure people come into that, they're clamoring for that job thinking that's going to be their key.
And fame is like the end game for so many people.
Yeah. And I just can't wait for the moment when it's no longer the case, because I feel like it's inevitable at some point.
I hope so. I hope so.
Please.
Not the case with Kim Kardashian's best buddy. His name is Jonathan Shaban, you know, and he decided to legally change his name to Food God recently.
God, he's so weird.
He's legally changing his name to Food God. And he says that he's struck a multi-million dollar deal with Sugar Factory to set up a subscription candy box service. So we all know that subscription boxes are like the big thing, right? Mm-hmm. You can get them for all sorts of things. The Food God Candy Club boxes will start at $30 a month, but there's also a $1,000 a month option. including exotic chocolates, gold-dusted candy, and an exclusive Food God diamond gummy bear charm.
Can I just say, though,
that like this whole Jonathan Chabon is a food person experience. Is this, I mean, Google his face and tell me if that's somebody you want to eat food with.
No.
Like, you know how, like...
I don't think he's eating, either. I mean...
Well, I just mean, like, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy... Because, like, if you're a food person...
Yeah.
You kind of should be one of those people that, like, every... Like, Stephanie March, for example.
You're joyful.
Yeah.
She's somebody you want to go eat a burger with because you know it's going to be fun.
Right.
Or Andrew Zimmern, or Anthony Bourdain, or, you know, fill in the blank.
All look somebody fun
who's sort of affable and fun to chat with.
Andrew Zimmern would get annoying because he would be, like...
Trying to feed you worms?
He'd feed you weird... Like, the other day, he said something like, I can't stand oatmeal, but I love pig's brains or something. And I'm like, I mean, okay, that's not relatable. But again, you want to eat food with somebody you can relate to. And I feel like it's so weird to me that he is cashing in on
I don't know how anyone thinks that he's a food god. Yeah, I mean, why would anyone think that?
Because his Instagram is like full of food pictures.
I'm also kind of like against the term food god.
Right. I also missed that he was changing his, like, legally changing his name.
Yeah, because he got a little bit overshadowed by P. Diddy saying that he was changing his name, which was actually just like a tequila-fueled mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The Victoria's Secret Fashion Show
before.
Happened over the weekend. Alessandra Ambrosio took her final Victoria's Secret catwalk Sunday night in Shanghai. She's hanging up her angel wings. And there's a $2 million fantasy bra. You can watch this extended commercial air on CBS coming up next week.
But thanks.
Do women buy Victoria's Secret? They must.
I think people buy Victoria's Secret.
Victoria's
Secret
to me just seems so like late 90s, early 2000s.
That's exactly
you know,
what it
that's
feels
how
like.
I
yeah.
feel about it too. Because like that's when I was shopping there. And
me
now
too.
I'm like I think I'm too old
to the mall
for Victoria's Secret.
Bra.
The struggle is real with finding the right bra.
Yeah, you gotta actually go. You can't
but
just order those things
online.
But
I want to go to someone who is going to measure me and like analyze my boobies and figure out how to best
handle
them.
Not like I'm going to go to like merry-go-round and then hop over to Victoria's Secret after I get an Orange Julius.
I just can't believe that Elizabeth just said analyze my boobies. On that note, you can do that later on Twin Cities Live.
No, we can't do that because...
No.
We need a caller for a 30-second pop culture challenge. 651-641-1071. We'll be back after this.
My Talk 1071. Everything.
And by the way, they're real and they're spectacular.
Entertainment.
30 seconds, 5 questions. You can win a prize, but only at 12:30 on the Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 107.1. Streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. We are everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer. And this is your 30-second pop culture challenge.
30 second pop culture challenge.
All right. Who are we playing with today, Holly, and what are they playing for?
Today we're playing with Julie, and she is playing for a pair of movie passes to see Breathe, starring Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy, during its run of engagement at Twin Cities AMC Theater.
Woo!
5 questions, 30 seconds. You can win a prize, but only at 12:30 on the Colleen and Bradley Show. It is the 30-second pop culture challenge. Are you ready?
Yep.
Timer will begin after I ask the first question. Here we go. Name the 90s sci-fi TV hit starring David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
Quantum Leap?
Nope, keep going.
I don't know it.
Hey. Finish the title of this animated comedy, The Secret Life of...
Nim?
Nope, keep going.
Nemo?
Nope.
I don't know it.
What happy TV homemaker and ex-con's tagline is, it's a good thing?
Betty White?
Nope.
I'm not sure.
So who or what?
Bad day.
Oh, you tried, Julie.
You're my favorite player in quite some long time.
Julie, thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Now, if you think you can do one better than Julie...
Mm-hmm.
You can play tomorrow.
Exactly. We do it every day at 12:30 here on the Colleen and Bradley Show. It's the 30-second pop culture challenge. Do we want to satisfy people with the answers
right,
to those
so
questions?
I'll ask you these questions. Okay. Let me know. The timer will begin. We don't need to do that. Name the 90s sci-fi TV hit starring David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
The X-Files.
Finish the title of this animated comedy, The Secret Life of...
Pets.
what Happy TV Homemaker and ex-con's tagline is, it's a good thing.
Martha Stewart.
Who or what was Kit on the 80s TV show Knight Rider?
A talking car.
Bruce Banner turns into what fictional superhero when he becomes angry?
The Hulk.
Ding, ding, ding.
Dun, dun, dun.
See? All right. Well, better luck next time.
Okay. So, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news lately, but there's a lot of really bad areas you could accidentally step in.
What?
Yeah. You could, sitting down at your Thanksgiving table.
Oh, at the dinner table.
Yes, yes,
I'm like,
yes.
What? Did my dog doo-doo on the floor?
No, okay. but virtually... the world has doo-dooed on us. And so there's a lot of bad opportunities to maybe take a wrong turn during your Thanksgiving conversation. So we've kind of put together a good guide, some tips, if you will, on how to try to avoid having those conversations.
Time for Colleen's tips for having non-controversial Thanksgiving table talk this year.
Oh, you guys, around the holidays, I really do miss my grandparents so much. Old people are so wise.
Yeah, I miss my grandparents too. I miss the traditions that they used to bring to the Thanksgiving table, and I miss all their stories. My grandparents told such wonderful, wonderful stories.
Oh, I know. My grandfather used to always talk about taking the streetcar in Minneapolis. Oh, so cool.
Yeah. Did your grandfather ever grab somebody's ass? You know, like President George H.W. Bush? You know who his favorite politician is? I mean, magician? David Copperfield. Yeah, let's talk about that, okay. Old people.
Wow, Bradley. Okay.
I mean, it's just going to be hard this year is what I'm saying.
Apparently that one went awry. We'll try that again later.
Yeah, well.
Okay, but today also, by the way, is a very important anniversary.
Yes, it is. Frankly, it's something that every Minnesotan should not forget. Do the words grape salad mean anything to you?
I wish that they didn't.
Right? Okay, you probably remember that about 3 years ago, just over this last week, we were essentially roundly made fun of by the New York Times when they suggested that Minnesotans' favorite Thanksgiving dish was something called grape salad. Let's remember what actually happened 3 years ago this week.
It's a culinary conundrum over a harmless-looking little salad no one in Minnesota's ever heard of.
Grape salad? Come now. Come now.
I've never heard of grape salad before in my life. I was born and raised here in Minnesota.
When the seemingly urbane urbanites at the venerable New York Times chose each state's favorite recipe for its United States of Thanksgiving feature, the grape salad, broiled with sour cream and pecans optional, was picked the favorite in the land of 10,000 lakes. Apparently, it comes from a Minnesota-born heiress. The Times wasn't expecting 10,000 protests.
We don't grow grapes. We don't have pecans. We don't broil them together. I mean, it's just from Mars.
The grapes of our wrath, fired back the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Minnesota nice? Non-existent on Facebook. I can't wait to have Grandma's grape salad at Thanksgiving, said no one from Minnesota ever, opined one. I have lived through 74 Thanksgivings, both in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and have never even heard of grape salad, much less been served it, grumbled another grape griper. The Times public editor replied, saying the paper had committed an epic recipe fail, adding that food is really regional, not state by state.
It is no way representative or even a good idea, because I tasted it after the uproar. It's terrible.
In Minnesota, the grape salad is leaving them mighty sour. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News.
You know, it still brings me back. And if you guys don't remember, we made a lot of hay about this because we were rightfully outraged.
Yeah.
And frankly, nobody, to that report's point, nobody had ever heard, like, you had like one or two people calling like, I remember when. It's like, no, okay, nobody literally has ever put that in their mouths before.
Or like maybe somebody brought it to like a potluck when they Googled, you know, new and interesting
weird
salads
you
or
can
something.
Throw in a bowl and broil with sour cream. Who broils sour cream?
I know, right? But it was certainly not on anybody's Thanksgiving table. That was what was so asinine about that. And honestly, like hearing that, report again brings me right back to that time and how, I mean, it was one of those unifying moments for our state where everybody came together and was like, hi, New York Times, you don't know us. Don't talk to me like that. I don't know what grape salad you're talking about. Do you remember we tried it?
It was disgusting. But what I will also say is, what a simpler, gentler time it was that our chiefest outrage of the day was a side dish that a lofty intellectual newspaper from the left coast thrust upon us. I mean, today I would be grateful for the New York Times to post a story about some cockamamie dish nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
That would be the best thing they could do because it could get us off the topic of what they're really reporting on, which is nothing we're going to talk about on this show.
Or we are later.
Yeah.
It's our senator.
Oh.
I'm just saying, if you Google New York Times in Minnesota right now, the first story that comes up is going to be about Senator Al Franken and his grab ass. I'm just being real. That's real talk right there. Gone are the days when a frivolous little thing like a harmless grape salad got us all up in arms. Well, speaking of our Thanksgiving tables, okay, I have some rules. I host Thanksgiving at my house, and there's a couple things that I cannot abide on my table if they are store-bought. I firmly believe that at least two items must be homemade, if not more. So the question is this.
Like what?
Cranberries.
Okay.
You can't
make your own cranberry sauce?
Yes. And I have a very, very good reason why I think it's dumb to do anything else.
Oh.
I'm serious.
Okay.
And pies. That's my other one.
Okay.
651-641-1071. What store-bought food can you absolutely not abide on your Thanksgiving table? Give us a call. We'll take your calls after this on the Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 107.1.
Previously on Jason and Alexis.
I've only played beer pong once in my life, and it was about 3 years ago for my husband's birthday in Chicago. And I was just turned 40. I was like, what am I doing? I'm 40 playing beer pong for the first time in my
life.
Really
creeped out because I don't want the balls to be dirty.
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know, because the balls are bouncing around and then they go in the cup and then you drink it. And I'm like, ooh, but the dirty balls.
Yeah, thanks, Nicole.
She's gone.
Balls,
the dirty balls.
Balls. Yeah, she's like, bye.
After someone says something like that? Oh, my goodness.
Bringing you everything entertainment. Jason and Alexis in the morning with producer Don on My Talk 107.1. The radio home of, oh, great. Now I got to watch that, too. My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment.
What store-bought food items do you absolutely not allow on your Thanksgiving table? That's what we're talking about on the Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 107.1. We are streaming live at MyTalk1071.com and doing everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. Bless you, Bradley Trainer. And that is the question we are asking. What store-bought food will you not allow?
How did this come up?
Well, because I host Thanksgiving at my house, and I feel very strongly that specifically pies, like that's my first big thing. Like I can't handle store-bought pies.
Oh my God, everybody does a store-bought pie.
No.
Yeah. I would guarantee you that the majority of people do store-bought pie.
Okay. Here's why I can't do store-bought pie. Because they never taste as good as homemade. And so it's once you know how good homemade pie is,
pie
you
takes
can't
forever.
Not really.
Nobody wants to sit there and make a crust. I'm just saying, I think the reason that most people do store-bought pie is because it takes a lot of time. And if you can just go to Baker Square or somewhere like Willette's and get a pie that they made, I'm sure it's going to be pretty amazing.
Okay, the other thing I will not buy at the store is cranberries. Tonight is cranberry night. So tonight I go home and I make the cranberries.
Oh God.
How long do you think it takes to make cranberries?
I don't know, but I don't make Thanksgiving dinner, but I actually look forward to the canned cranberry sauce.
Oh my gosh. It's so much better. And it takes like 10 minutes. 651-641-1071. What store-bought food can you absolutely not allow on your Thanksgiving table? We've got Elaine on the line. Elaine, what is the store-bought food that you will not allow on your table?
Okay, so I have to correct him and tell him. This is Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
I have to correct him. Hi. We do not buy any type of Baker Squares pie, anything in our house. So I do buy pie shells.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I make delicious filling to put into the shells because that is too much work. But I don't buy store-bought pies.
What kind of pie do you make?
This year we're having 50-plus people, so I am making a sweet potato pie. Ooh. I am making pecan pie. Ooh. I am making a red velvet cake and a huge thing of banana pudding.
Do you want 52 people? 'Cause that sounds amazing.
You guys could most certainly come by. You would blend in perfectly. But so desserts are one of those things. But my three were macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot pass off stovetop anything to put into any type of bird.
Oh, okay, yes. Thank you for saying that one, too, because I feel very strongly about the stuffing as well.
Yes, and because my family is kind of migrated from the South, potato salad shows up random times of the year. You can never buy
a potato salad from the store. I agree with you there.
Yeah, so that's what we don't do.
Elaine, I feel like my heart understands you very well.
Yes, I feel like we're kindred spirits.
What about the cranberries, though? Really? Real talk.
I love candy.
Yes. Who doesn't love that gelatinous blob that falls out of the can?
If I have tried like the stuff people make, and it doesn't have that same yumminess that the gelatinous stuff has.
I know. Sorry. Okay, I get it. I get it. Okay, thank you.
And it even ruins in it when they buy the ones with the cranberries in it. That's gross.
I want that slice. Yeah. Yes.
Oh my gosh, you guys are hilarious.
Thanks,
thank you,
Elaine.
So much, Elaine.
I will. Is there anything, because Colleen, you kind of have gone down the list, and is there anything you do store by? Or buy
lefse
at the store?
Lefse and...
That's a Thanksgiving thing at your house? Lefse?
Lefse is for every celebration, if you are Scandinavian. Yeah. Lefse can be anywhere. It's like a Norwegian tortilla. It's the best. No, I think that's store bought. I feel like we'll do like the canned... green beans with the cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah,
like all of that is like,
that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you dump it together and pop it in.
Nobody's making cream of mushroom soup, I hope. That would be kind of crazy.
I know, but like, or like corn, you know.
Rolls?
Rolls can be store-bought.
Okay, good.
But I just have such strong feelings about, and I when Elaine said stuffing, that got me too, because you cannot, no. You
I
have
like
to like.
Stovetop, I won't lie.
I like stovetop. There's a time and a place.
I would much rather have stovetop than some, like, the problem I have is people go like, I'm going to make everything for Thanksgiving this year, and I'm going to do some twists, so we're going to do a curry sweet potato.
Oh, that bugs me. I like that.
No, thanks. I want my old fashioned. Like, I mean, if you're good at it and you love to make it, then you should make it. But if it is not you to make, then just buy it from someone who knows how to make it. Like, I don't care as long as the turkey, like, I'm pretty sure my mom this year is going to make a turkey. The rest, with the exception of potato salad, would be bought from the store, and I'd be fine with that.
Listen, I'm not saying that I haven't bought stuff from the store before. I totally have. There have been years that I couldn't put on the Thanksgiving that I wanted to, and we'd get it all from, you know, the grocery store pre-made, and it was all great. But for the most part, if I have my druthers, I want to make my own pies. I don't want them from a store. Let's go to Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, it's Bonnie, the makeup artist. You guys talked to like 6 months ago.
Oh, hi, Bonnie. How are you?
I could be better. I shattered my leg a few months ago,
no.
So I'm at
home. Oh, no.
But my food, I wanted, and it's so cool because I've been on the show like 3-4 times. This is awesome. Anyway,
you're a regular.
Yes, I am. Potatoes, mashed potatoes. You can't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gross. Yeah, who would do that? Scary people.
In my family, they want like three types of potatoes. I do the skin-on mashed garlic potatoes. I do the regular skin-off potatoes. And then I do the cheesy hash brown potatoes.
Oh, those are my favorite.
Yes. So you have to have... And then the next day and for the next week, we do hash brown potato patties for breakfast.
Oh, my God. Again, what time are we coming over?
Yeah, right? We have a lot...
Yeah.
Thanksgiving's going to be a big day for us, Bradley. You know what that she just said that I do want to say this, lest I sound like a complete and total snob, like I won't allow anything that is store-bought on my table. We do not make our own gravy at our house. Mom brings like scores of backup gravy. We call it the backup gravy.
Why don't
we try to make
like
a little
bit? Easiest thing to make.
Well, my husband brines the bird. So then it's way too salty. So like when you try to make gravy from the drippings, it's too salty.
Weird.
So also it is, it's not as like good gravy. It has to be good. You know, you don't want half.
Well, you don't want half-assed gravy. Where do you get gravy from?
Lunds and Byerly's gravy is the best. Oh. That's what we do every single year. It's backup gravy. Thanks, Mom.
No idea.
Let's go to, is it Jera?
Jera, yep.
Hi, Jera. What store-bought food can you absolutely not abide on your Thanksgiving table?
Well, I like it other times of the year. I do like stuffing other times of the year. But on Thanksgiving, my mom makes the best homemade stuffing.
Right? Yes. Yes.
But if you didn't have your mom, like, what would you do?
I guess we would do stovetop. I don't know how to make it, but it literally is the best stuffing. And it is a big difference. I mean, stovetop's okay. Like I said, I buy it, you know, other meals, other times of the year. But Thanksgiving, I got to have my mom's homemade stuffing.
Yeah. I get it, Jera. And I will tell you, you may think that stuffing is really hard to make. It's actually so easy. It's like my favorite.
Really easy to ruin, too, because I feel like half the time it's like super dry.
Oh, you just got to keep adding broth to it. It's all good. It's easy. Easy. Let's go to Marcy. Marcy, you will have the final word. What store-bought item can you just not have on your Thanksgiving table?
Cool Whip.
Really?
No Cool Whip. Oh my gosh.
What?
Pure hydrogenated oil, guys.
Oh my god.
Oh, just give me a spoon. I will go to town on that.
If you're gonna come over to my house and whip my cream for me, fine. But like,
I will.
Yeah, but Cool Whip is like 150 times better than just normal whipped cream.
Oh no, you can put vanilla extract in or almond extract and a little sugar in there.
I will say there's appeal to actual whipped cream, but when it comes to Thanksgiving and like pumpkin pie, I just want a big dollop of Cool Whip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
I'll just bring my own. I'll bring my own.
We'll see you on Thursday, Marcy. Thank you. I mean, we're going to have to make it. We're going to have to make the rounds. People had some...
I'm hungry, so
I know, right?
Fine.
Sorry about that. When we come back here on the Colleen and Bradley show, I hate to do it, but the news is making us. You guys, more from Perv Corner. We'll be back after this on the Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 107.1.
My Talk 107.1. Everything.
Estella!
Entertainment.